Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. This show helps you connect to your buying market online. You want to find out more about us, check us out at beingfound.com and, of course, Facebook, Twitter, and all that other stuff. You can't be a marketing company or a marketing show or a marketing guy without having all that stuff. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. I also have all that stuff, and this is Jake.
How you guys doing today?
What's up, Jake?
I'm great.
You're always great. On Saturday mornings,
it's a gorgeous fall Saturday morning. The air is cool and crisp.
Yeah. See, the reason why you think this is because you have young kids. And so young kids have this great way of providing weekend stability for adults. My kids are old now, and my wife and I are all like, ooh, let's go be young again. And then, like, Saturday morning rolls around, and I'm just all, stupid business show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I spent 20 minutes this morning listening to my wife tell me how stupid it is that I have a business show on Saturday mornings. I mean, she did it, you know, as nicely and cutely as possible.
Right.
But
right.
Still, she did it.
Well, it's nice. You know, it's a not a bad way to spend a Saturday morning.
Yeah, no, it's not. And it's not it's also something that It's a topic that I love.
Yeah.
It's a topic that I think about all week long and not because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if I didn't prep for the show and I had nothing to talk about, I could easily come in here and talk about it for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, So the last couple of weeks we've been talking about getting yourself ready for Christmas behind the scenes, doing all the stuff. And I would urge you to do that. And if you missed any of that, you can check it out on beingfound.com. And you can find out, you know, really, not find out, if you're a business owner, you can be reminded of a lot of the things that you should be doing to prep yourself. You know, all the stores, you see it coming in. I think I was talking last week, I was at Costco, and all the toys are in there, and I hear people whispering, going, oh, my God, they actually have the toys in already. You know, and so everybody's got an opinion on it. But as a business owner, you know, you got to get yourself ready.
Yeah.
So at today's show, we're going to be talking about backlinking, which is like the holy grail of online marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have a terrible website, and if you had a backlink from the homepage of Google, you would probably be ranking for tons of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one backlink. Backlinks are the quality of a backlink can be exponential. You know, so you get a crappy one, and let's say it's worth 1 point, but you get a really good one, and it's worth literally 100,000 points,
mm-hmm.
you know, just from a different domain, you know. So so we should probably start by talking about what a backlink is. A backlink is created when an external website links to your website. That's creative. This is why some people refer to them as external backlinks or inbound links. The reason why they call them external backlinks or inbound links, because another part of SEO and blah, 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 is internal links, you know, or backlinking from your own site. But we're talking about sites that are not your site. Ultimately, when it comes to online marketing, you can split it into two segments. One is on-site optimization and one is off-site optimization. On-site is going to be all the stuff that you do to your site. Offsite is going to be doing everything off the site. Now, of course, they bleed over one another on a regular basis. But backlinking would definitely start in the offsite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the efforts tend to always start on site, but you know, for mental categorization, backlinking I think would be offsite, you know.
Yeah. As an example, something I did a couple of weeks ago for one of our clients, they had a event. It was a community event So what I did is I went on all the community websites and submitted my event, or their event rather, to their calendars, which contained a link back to the website.
Right.
So just a...
Right. And that's definitely a underused backlink and community involvement thing. You know, people just don't really realize that your events can be as simple as, well, let's say I have a business that, let's say I have a restaurant and I'm going to do a 10% off on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
This coming up Tuesday, 10% off. We're inviting all new customers to try us out for 10% off. That's an event.
Yep.
You know, people are coming in, you got a location, you're doing your stuff, throw together yourself a little flyer, you do this stuff. You know, you can't just be all, oh, we're doing this and, you know.
Not tell anyone.
You know, this sort of thing happens all the time. You know, you basically have to come up with your own conversations, yeah. You know, oh, yeah. And that'll give you the stuff to work with. So, when to build backlinks. First, you want to get your website all up and running and fix all structural issues. And then you really want to think about what you're linking to. You know, we talk about all these things a lot. Is your site relevant? Meaning, do you have the right words on there that people want to get to? You know, when are you building? If you're a construction company and you're showing up for some other topic, you know, your website's just not relevant. And you'd be surprised how often people do this because they automatically assume that everybody understands that they're relevant through their pictures, and they don't do it through their text, but they don't realize that search engines are picking up that text, and that when your website shows up in search, that text that shows up, the description, is coming from your website, so you need to provide that information for the search engines.
Not only that, but, you know, people are depending on the title and the meta description of the page, which is often being pulled from the page. And if those things don't match,
right,
then
Google is confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so are the people going to the page.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So is it relevant? Is it fast? We can't cover that one enough. Unfortunately, is it fast is really technical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's maybe one that not your average business owner can get in there and do, but you can test it. You can go to Google PageSpeed Insights and test it, and then you got something to talk to your marketing company about and say, hey, what's up with this? Why is this not moving quickly? Another is it mobile friendly? You know, that's one that I don't know. We hit every show.
Yeah,
we hit every show, you know. But you'd be surprised how many aren't.
Yeah, go to Google's mobile testing tool. You can probably just type that right into Google. It'll take you there, and it'll check all your pages.
Right, yeah, and it'll tell you, hey, this one's wonky. This one's not showing up. And while you're at it, bring it up on your own phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't figure out what you're looking at, you know, it ain't mobile friendly. Because the tool can only go so far. You know, it's still a machine.
Yeah.
You know, you really got to put some human eyes on that, too. Of course, you want to appease the machine because the machine is making the decision, the initial decision.
You just said something from, like, a dystopian book.
Totally.
Appease the machine.
Appease the machine. The machine is making the decision. And it is. You know, I'm sure that scares a lot of people. But and then finally, you know, before you do your backlinking, you want to make sure users can convert. When they get there, are they going to like what they see? Are there going to be forms and phone numbers and all those things that people need in order to make a conversion to your stuff?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's all the on-site stuff. When we come back after the commercial break, we're going to talk about actually building those backlinks and making the effort to do it. You know, this may not seem like a very exciting topic. I feel like I say that every week. But if you're listening to the business show, this should be an exciting topic. This is the holy grail for online marketers. You're listening to the Being Found Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You are listening to The Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinking. And, you know, in the first segment, we covered all the things you need to do on-site. And now we're going to cover all the things that you need to do off-site. Chances are this one is only going to apply to people who have established websites, who have taken over websites, and so on and so forth, or have switched marketing companies. Any number of things can do this. You need to first fix your old backlinks. Mm-hmm. Basically, that means that you clean up your website. And you make sure that all your internal linking is cleaned up, that you don't have any what's called 301s. That's basically a link that goes nowhere. When you click it, I mean, not 301s, I'm sorry. You clean it up with a 301. It's called a 404. I'm sure you've seen it. You follow a link and you get a dead page and it says 404. And it tends to have something cute, it says. Like, oh, snap, that page is missing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, totally.
That's a cute little kitty with a tear.
Right. Yeah. Well, my favorite, this is a little off topic, is the 500 error in, so basically a 404 error is like a website error. Mm-hmm. A 500 error is a server error. Anything in the 500s. And, on Firefox, they have the little dinosaur, but if you hit the space bar, that dinosaur will start running and you play a game jump over stuff.
That's right.
Right. So they know what they're doing. They know how to keep your attention.
Yes.
All right. And then your second aspect of cleaning up your old backlinks is to index your site for sites linking to it. It's very time consuming, but there might be some quality stuff in there. You dig deep enough into Google Webmaster Tools, and you can download a list of all the sites that Google knows about linking to your site.
Hmm.
You then take all of those and you clean them up and just get the domain names. You assess each one of those domain names by running them through a tool to see which ones are really valuable.
What tool do you use to do that?
There's lots of great tools in MozLocal, and then really sort of bulk online tools. I'm looking for domain authority, and I'm looking for page authority and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, if you're paying for MozLocal, you can also get a spam rating, which is kind of cool for Moz. You know, it'll tell you, like, hey, this is spammy. And so you go through all those, and then you assess, like, hey, maybe I have 10 on here that are really coming from websites that are high, high-quality websites. And then at that point, I search the website. I forget the name of it, but there's a code search engine where instead of searching content, you're searching code. And so I can search that website for my domain name.
Oh, okay.
And then I can find where those links are. I see which page it's linking to, and if it's a dead link, I redirect that page to where I want it to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, to be clear, you mentioned you can identify spammy websites. If there's a lot of spammy websites linking to your website, Google will diminish your ranking for that. Is that right?
Absolutely. Okay. Birds of a feather flock together. And basically, those spammy websites, a lot of the time, what really makes them spammy is they're part of a PBN, a personal blog network, or they're part of some sort of link wheel. And if you're too involved with those, Google will start to think of you as being part of that link wheel. You know, and then you can get a manual penalty. So Google has, like, little penalties. If you're not doing the right things or you're not providing the right information, you're going to show up less in search. If Google provides a manual penalty, that means that you've been flagged by the search engine. A human being has come in and taken a look at your site and said, this is shady, they're breaking the rules, you're out. And then you need to manually fix those problems and write a resubmission request to Google, and Google will say, okay, you're back in.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, during that downtime, that's downtime.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All right. So I guess another thing you need to do to your website before you go on is create linkable assets. People don't want to link to a sales page. They don't want to read them unless they're ready to convert. People just don't want to, you know, businesses get so caught up in return on investment and conversion that they're never moving out to these other tiers of influence. You know, we had this great conversation the other day that was really mind-blowing to me in its simplicity, where we were talking about project management and that you have your different and that, you know, level one priority is critical and time-sensitive, and then there's basically two, three, and four, and that people basically work in number one putting out fires and then relax in number four in order to come down and really never touch two and three. And this is from the book that Jake's been talking about for a month. He's the world's slowest audio listener.
It's true. 15 minutes a day. You know, I used to do my book tips every Saturday morning. I haven't for a long time, but I'll throw it in. Yeah. Seven habits of highly effective people.
Right.
I think I'm on habit three.
Right.
In a month.
Right. Well, I think that that's fair, though, with audiobooks, is because you really have to absorb it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll be working and I'll listen to an audiobook and I'll listen to the same chapter like four times over because I'm getting distracted constantly, you know. But I have started listening to this book because of your talking about it, and especially this Matrix thing. So I don't want to get too far into that. But Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, totally interesting.
If you own a business and you have the time, read it.
If you want to be highly successful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, creating assets. Link. So people don't really want to see a sales page unless they're ready to be sold to. You know, so link your assets to sales pages, and basically sales pages, save your sales pages for like ads and assets that have to do with conversion, but most you need to sort of answer people's questions. You know, what were they called? Micro moments.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Right. And so, you know, when you break it down like that, there are a lot of thought questions that go through a person's mind before they make that sale. And if you're solely focused on making the sale, you're missing all these steps that a person's mind goes through before they make the sale.
Yeah, I think Google broke it down into four parts, and it was, I want to buy, I want to learn, I want to do, and there was one other one. But essentially, it's the four kinds of questions people are trying to address when
right.
they do a search.
Right.
So having a page that accurately captures the reason that person is going to the page.
Right.
You know, if someone wants to learn and the page is for someone who wants to buy, that link's quality or value is going to diminish because people are going to bounce.
Right.
They don't want to use it.
Right. And, you know, I suffer from this as well sometimes when I'm doing work for especially lower paying clients. You know, we really need to provide them some sales. You know, small businesses, medium sized businesses, you know, they're struggling. They're mm-hmm. struggling to stay on board, to stay above water. And so, you know, you're constantly pushing to get them these ROIs. You know, but really this is kind of like the Matrix. We're sitting in number one when two and three,
yeah.
really you should probably spend half an hour on two and three. And that yeah. is answering some of their questions in an SEO or marketing friendly fashion.
Doing the important things even when they're not critical.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So creating linkable assets, making sure that you have something on your site that's worth linking to. Now there's a broad range of that, you know, there's a broad spectrum of that, and we'll get in to more of that later. So the first step here that we're going to talk about is foundational backlinks. When I'm explaining SEO to people, I tend to like to describe it like a sieve or a colander. You know, each website is a colander. Colander is what I grew up with. I don't know. Did you grow up with sieve or a strainer?
I don't know what it's called. It's plastic, though. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Your noodle drainer?
Yeah, noodle drainer. That's
okay.
good. Rice washer.
All right. Apparently, they're all different things, but I grew up calling them the colander.
Okay.
And so I think of the colander, and each website is a colander. And they're both made to hold water, but unfortunately, they're full of a lot of holes. All your on-site optimization is plugging holes. All your off-site optimization is pouring in some water. If you have more holes or more water flow coming in than your competitor, you're going to win. You know, and foundational backlinks, the point of this is these are the holes that all your competitors have plugged. So you need to plug these holes too. They're mm-hmm. easy to do. You might as well just plug those holes too. You'll level the playing field, and now you can work outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Foundational backlinks tend to be social media, you know. Those core things, the first thing you need to do is secure all your social media properties. You don't have to actively market on these platforms, but it certainly wouldn't hurt. And, you know, when you're on there, you can choose which platforms work best for you in order to, you know, a lot of different industries will work better in other areas. You know, Facebook is obviously a giant for some industries, but not for others. You know, mm-hmm. it really isn't for others. Clothing sales e-commerce is one that Facebook hasn't really been doing
yeah,
quite
as
true. Well with. In the service industry, they're doing pretty well.
Although I will say that they've been on mobile, they've got ad rows that have been popping up for e-commerce on my phone, I've noticed.
Well, they're definitely in there for the fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Facebook is really Google's only competitor at this point, only serious competitor. Okay, so at the minimum, populate these accounts and share some content so that it looks good. And at the very minimum, here are the social media ones you should have: Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Instagram. Because those are the big ones. Those are the ones all your competitors have.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Being Found show. If you missed our earlier segment, you can check us out at beingfound.com. Come on back, and we're going to talk more about backlinking.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
You're listening to the Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks for your website. Super exciting. Edge of your seat. All right. So up next here we have business listings and citations. There are basically three different types. Well, let's run down what they are first. Business listings are basically the online equivalent of getting bulk into multiple Yellow Pages phone books,
mm-hmm.
You know. Have you noticed how there aren't any phone books anymore? That's because they're all online.
Mm-hmm.
and privacy has come in, it's actually really hard to find a person's phone number. Have you noticed this? You got to pay for it a lot of the time. And I never pay for it because I'll contact them via Facebook. I'll contact them via something else. Mm-hmm. But anytime I'm doing a person search, I notice that I'm just inundated with people trying to charge me for that personal information. But all of these are like yellow pages online, business listings and citations. A citation is – now, a lot of these citations come with a backlink, which, as we said, is a link from an outside site to your website. A citation is a reference to your website. It can or it can't contain a backlink. A way to explain that is if this other site says my domain name, but it's not a link. It says ChaunceyAllworth.com and it links, you know. Or if it mentions my business, The Being Found Show, and Google knows that my website, The Being Found Show, is beingfound.com, that's a citation, and Google makes note of the fact that this website is talking about my website, but not actually linking to it directly. Mm-hmm. And this goes for your phone number, your address. Definitely huge things when it comes to local search, but also important things when it comes to national search and product search. But definitely local search. You need to have your citations locked up, dialed up, and happening, and they need to be consistent. So there are general business directories, the things that you would suggest. YP.com, yellowpages.com, YP.com, is a prime example of a website that contains all businesses, all types of businesses, categorized, so on and so forth. They got all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The next one would be niche-targeted directories. So that would be like carpetcleanerslocal.com, professionalcarpetcleaningservices.com. These are niche sites that basically have, in some cases, a national selection of carpet cleaners. By niche, mm-hmm. we're talking about the industry. So there's a bunch of opportunities for that. And then, of course, there are geo-targeted directories. You know, you live in any town, and a town says, well, here's all our local businesses, mm-hmm. and that's geo-targeted.
Reading Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
As an example.
Yeah, Reading.com. What is that? Record Search Line.
Yeah.
You know, they have all their local business listings. These are absolute musts. These are... Well, the article that I was, you know, referencing in some of this did not refer to these as foundational backlinks, but I think they're wrong. These are foundational backlinks. Your competitors will have these. If they have a marketing company, they will have them. Now, Moz has this great tool, and it's totally free. You go to Moz, and you can type it in, your domain name, and it's going to tell you what percentage of the important citations you actually have. Mm-hmm. And how much consistency you have there. Basically, what they're trying to do, of course, is sell you a tool. And for me, that's like the number one tool to go to is the Moz Local. It's $99 a year, and they basically take care of a lot of those foundational links. So if you're a business owner doing it yourself, this is really a good way to get started. It's pretty easy to use. But I would say that if you run into any pitfalls where Moz is telling you, hey, I can't fix this. The machine can't fix this. Don't call Moz. That's going to be really expensive. You know, you can pay for the tool because, like, if you pay for a marketing company, like, let's say you hired me to do your marketing, I would buy Moz Local for you. And then we would do it. Or I wouldn't buy it for you, frankly. I would have you pay for it. My belief system is I don't want to own anything that's not mine, so I like to have my clients own their own stuff. Mm-hmm. That means that if you decide that you hate me, you can move to another marketer and still own all your stuff. You know, you can pick it up from exactly where you left off. You know?
Yeah.
But the point is, this is a great place to start. Now, when you're moving on to get more advanced, Jake, you like Bright Local.
Bright Local, yeah.
And that can be a little bit more expensive, but you definitely have more granular control and you're able to really go after more specific things with it.
Well, yeah, I think Moz Local uses a lot of aggregating companies,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically you give all of your information to an aggregate company. That aggregate company gives it to the lesser linking sites. Bright Local, in contrast, actually goes straight to those individual citations and puts them in individually and manually. And it actually also gives you it sets up an email address and a password. So you log into Bright Local, you log into your Bright Local email, and you can control all of the citations that have been set up for you. You might want to do that, for example, if your phone number changes.
Right.
You can either go in manually, or you can pay someone to go in manually and change those for you.
Right. The reason why I don't really know that is I don't actually do a lot of citations anymore. When I first started doing citations, I didn't use Moz Local or Bright Local. Mm-hmm. I manually went to hundreds of sites and called them and had to get the client on the phone to verify mm-hmm. the business. And I would do this for hours upon hours a day.
Very tedious.
Yeah, it was very tedious, but highly, highly important. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm not going to spend hours a day doing this if it's not effective or important. All right, next up here, we got some niche relevant blog comments. So, this one's touch and go. It is not Black Hat and it is not Gray Hat to do this, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a spammy jerk while doing it. You know, if somebody writes a great blog post and you hop in there and you say first, you know, and that's your comment, you know, that's going to get picked up on. You know, basically, niche-relevant blog comments are kind of like being involved in your industry. Like we're into online marketing. So somebody posts a great online marketing blog, and we comment on it, and we say what we learned, and we say how it was helpful, or maybe we disagree with something. We comment on it and say, well, what about this, that, and the other thing? And maybe they have a great answer for us. You know, there's community involved there. You know, there's involvement there. This is kind of the no man's land. Blog commenting is kind of the no man's land between website content and social media. It's like there is content to be had there, but there's also a community factor
mm-hmm.
there. And the more you can get involved in that, the better. So, you know, you involve yourself in other sites where you're learning, you're teaching, you're conversing, you have a relationship. So, what these really do is they create a layer of relevancy around your site. Basically, here you are talking in the other blogosphere. That's the term they use. I don't particularly like it, but about it, and it's creating this relevancy thing. You know, I do a lot of carpet cleaners, and they're all talking about carpet cleaning, and Google says, man, this guy's involved with carpet cleaning. He must be really exciting,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I know Google grades links on a website.
They do.
Based on, you know, where they're located, how they were added in. And I'm assuming that a link in a comment probably holds less value than any link in the blog itself. Is that fair to say?
Totally fair to say. Yeah. You know, that's a whole different warrior that we'll talk about later. Basically, that's called a contextual link. Basically, you're in the context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are sort of the sort of fundamental social easy links to get to. You know, these are the links that a business owner can really get to with very little effort. And frankly, would probably be very helpful to a business owner. I mean, if you're chasing around the blogosphere around your business, you know, there's probably quite a bit of great information out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this commenting, it can improve your ratio of follow to no follow backlinks, diversify your anchor text. That's exciting. Sometimes it gets you small amounts of referral traffic because maybe somebody likes your link and they follow it all through. But mostly it helps you build a relationship with your industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that you need to really remember when you comment is, are you adding value to that discussion? Don't be a troll. Don't try to prove how you know more. Don't do this, but really sort of involve yourself, you know. Stop being so closed off. Get in there and involve yourself. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come back, we're going to take a break from backlinking to close it out with a little discussion of the news and Nike and Colin Kaepernick. Come on back.
tomorrow's Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460 from the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. On Monday, we welcome Casey Dollar of Top Dollar Studios. Find out how a young man from Reading got into the movie industry and how he's making movies right up here in the North State. Plus, North State Stand Down will be joining us to talk about how they are helping veterans that are down on their luck, giving them a hand up, not a hand out. All this Monday here at Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
You don't need the golden ticket to attend Wind River Resort and Casino's Wonka Halloween Bash on Saturday, October 27th. Be entertained all night long with Baby Bash featuring DJ Chris. Enjoy drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contests, and door prizes for a night of unforgettable fun. Over $3,000 in cash and prizes will be given away. Presale admission is $20, $25 day up, or $350 for a VIP booth, so you and your friends can make this a night to remember and receive even more surprises. Your ticket for the VIP booth includes six guests, swag, cocktail service, and one bottle of Sky Vodka. This signature event sells out fast, so get your tickets now. Go to the River Club or WinRiver.com to purchase tickets. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your Wonka Halloween Bash. Book a room in our hotel, or Wind River Resort and Casino offers our guests a free safe ride courtesy shuttle home. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Halloween is better at the River.
Summer, all right, you're listening to the Being Found Show, and I gotta say, maybe we need to come up with seasonal playlists. I think that might have been a spillover from when it was
summer,
hot as the Dickens,
yeah,
up around here. All right, so this is marketing news. I really love these topics that basically everybody has an opinion on. Everybody's got an opinion on Colin Kaepernick, one way or the other. And so Nike picks up Colin Kaepernick as their new spokes guy.
Mm-hmm.
With this whole anti-sports campaign, this sort of destroy your life if you, I forget what it is,
I think it said, it was something like do what you believe, even if it costs you everything.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Paraphrased. I don't recall.
Right. Exactly. Actually, I think that's pretty dang close, yeah. It was very touch and go. People did not know if this was going to sink that ship. Well, I think we knew it wasn't going to sink it.
You're right. Nike could have absorbed that.
Right. But if it was going to give it a dent,
yeah,
or if it was going to help it out, and it turns out Nike sales jumped 31% in the wake of Kaepernick ad campaign.
Yeah.
Now, this prompts the marketing question, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
And during the break, we were talking about how there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yep.
And I have kind of a racy way to explain this. So I'm out with my wife last night, and we run into our friend who's like basically this marketing guy, but he's sort of like controversy marketing. and he jokingly refers to himself as a meme assassin, and he basically markets through trolling, and starts brutal conversations mm-hmm. that get all this sort of like heavy traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about how there's no such thing as bad publicity. You know, we have this sort of like a romantic Winston Churchill way of saying it. And his is kind of a little bit more racy, but I think a little bit more relevant today. And he said that marketing is like sex. Even when it's bad, at least you had it, you know, and that made a lot of sense to me that like, you're right, because people in this day and age, we're so involved with talking about it. Even the people who hate it sort of love to hate it, you know, and even the people who love it sort of love that the people who hate it hate it. You know, we're so split down the middle that have you ever heard the term Schadenfreude?
No.
Okay, this is, you know, German has all these weird words that, like, we're just all, what, you have a word for that?
Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude is secretly taking delight in another person's misery. Or quietly phrase. Taking delight in another person's misery. And we really live in that society where, you know, this is working. And that's why it's working. You know, one reason why this works so well is it's self-perpetuating. You know, I go to look this up to discuss it, and I see a bunch of articles of celebrities supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see this article anymore. I got to dig my way around to get to it because it's basically, oh, look who wore what on the red carpet to support this.
Right.
You know, and it's like totally self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
And then also look at all these people who hate this and also self-perpetuating.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, you know, in looking at this and knowing that we're going to be talking about it, I've been trying to think about it. It's like, okay, well, how on earth did this go from, you know, half the people hate it, half the people love it, but you would expect that to create a zero sum, but it's actually up 30%. It's because the people who hate it burn their Nikes on social media sites. The people who love it go buy a pair of shoes. The people who burn their Nikes now just need to buy a new pair of shoes.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, they didn't really do any damage to the company by doing that. They just look like idiots on social media. And the other side went out and bought a pair of Nikes in support.
Right.
And also, so Nike just, I mean, a 30% bump in sales, that is huge.
Especially when you're huge to begin with.
Yes. I mean, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if you were worth $3 billion, you're now worth $4
billion. Yeah.
You know, that's insane. Yeah. Plus, you know, Nike knew who their market was.
Mm-hmm.
I might get some hate mail for this. I just don't know how to say it. I realize that the world is changing in this way, and it's kind of refreshing. But historically, those who would be on the side of anti-Kaepernick, or at least anti-Nike for marketing this, I don't mean anti-Kaepernick, by definition are not progressive and not necessarily technologically going to town, which left them at a disadvantage with their side of the marketing. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Nike knows who their market is, and their market are these sort of people who are also involved in this stuff. And so by Nike doing this, they knew that they were hitting their market, the people who actually buy their shoes. And so these other people can complain and say, I'm not buying Nikes anymore. But maybe we're not buying Nike to begin with. And I guess I switch topics here. I'll let you respond to my discussion about the technological involvement.
Well, I mean, I don't know. To me, that's kind of a stretch. I see old grandpas wearing Nikes, lady runners wearing Nikes, my kids wear Nikes. You know, I think they stretch such a wide. I mean, I think the only unifying thing about Nike's product is that it has something to do with sports. They're sporty somehow.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, hard for me to say that they're technological or not technological or right or left. I think Kaepernick in general polarized politically.
Oh,
I mean, totally. People took a side based on whether or not they were conservative or liberal.
Well, then here's my controversial stance.
Okay.
I bet you conservative people take better care of their shoes and therefore buy less shoes.
Those are fighting words, Chauncey.
I am personally not conservative, man, and I just tear through shoes because I am just, like, flippant. I bet you your shoes are totally nice and put in your closet and totally, like, organized.
I have a special brush just for my shoes.
Yeah, that's weird, man. You're a weirdo.
So just so everyone knows at home, I'm pretty conservative. Chauncey's pretty liberal. We make it work because we're friends.
Right.
But this is a fun conversation for us.
Yeah, but so here's the other interesting part of this. Nike's success may embolden other brands to take stronger social and political positions.
Yes, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like that's a societal shift away from it being a huge backlash.
See, I feel bad. I feel like now I have to support one brand and not another just to show what my political view is, and I don't like that one bit.
I don't like stupid. That at all either. I just don't. Actually, if I were to rally behind anything, I would basically be, you know, I'm down for, like, you know, human rights, you know, don't eat babies, you know, don't be a racist, you know, don't be a card carrying racist, you know, so on and so forth. But really, if we want to get on board, we should probably just boycott anybody who has a political opinion in any sort of business sphere.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking I might just make a T-shirt that says, "I disagree with you, let's have a conversation about it."
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do that. I'd be all, "I disagree with you, get the heck away from me."
Except not with the radio verbiage.
Right. Yeah, I can't, I've just really kind of had enough of all of this politics stuff. I think it's just gotten totally out of hand. And that, on my other show, we're almost to the end here. I personally quit listening to talk radio, political talk radio,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like it was getting me too involved in this strategy and it got my eye off the prize. It's like we all have this idea about the way the world should be. And we shouldn't be sitting there worrying about the strategies mm-hmm. of little senators mm-hmm. and the strategies of these little things. We need to focus on the way we think the world should be, and we need to focus on that. And that's kind of the way that the world used to be. But now when you talk to most people, they're just all, "Oh, yeah, well, what happened last week should lead to this, that, and the other thing." And you're just all like, I don't really see how that's an opinion on the utopia you're trying to get to. Because ultimately, we're all trying to get to the same utopia, and that is where people are safe and they're free and they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people may have different ways of getting there, but I mean, that is the prize and we need to keep focused on that. So sorry about my, soapbox there.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I like it.
All right. You're listening to the Being Found show. What do you think? I don't know.
Chauncey and I are going to go fight in the parking lot. You guys enjoy the rest of your...
I don't know. If you've seen Chauncey and Jake, you know who's going to win this fight. Jake's an ex-Marine. All right. Have a good afternoon.
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he'll meet with Andrew Brunson, the American pastor just released from Turkey in the Oval Office this afternoon. The president said on Twitter it will be, in his words, wonderful to see and meet Brunson. The president says Brunson is a great Christian who has been through such a tough experience. The president on the road greeted with an enthusiastic crowd of supporters at a campaign rally in Lebanon, Ohio last night.
We have crowds. We have tens of thousands of people outside of every arena. They have to start building larger arenas in this country.
The president says Democrats will reverse all the gains of his administration if they regain control.
They will try to raise your taxes, impose socialism on this country, take away your health care, and take away your jobs.
Meanwhile, political analyst Gary Bauer says the contentious Kavanaugh hearings are going to have an impact on the midterm elections.
The most obvious thing, of course, is that it seems to have electrified self-identified conservatives. And the result is that in a number of Senate races, conservative Republican candidates have opened up a lead in races that just a short time ago were tied.
Gary Bauer is president of the nonprofit group American Values. People in the Florida panhandle starting to pick up the scraps of what's left of their homes and lives in the aftermath of Hurricane Michael. Scott Campbell is CEO of the Bay Medical Sacred Heart Hospital in Panama City. He says all they're using right now is the emergency room.
We're closing our inpatient services, transferring all of our patients out. We're going to maintain this emergency room open, and then we're going to reopen the emergency department at our beach.
Power and cell phone service are starting to be restored in parts of Florida's storm-battered panhandle. About 80% of cell phone service has been restored throughout the region hit by Michael, the death toll at 14. More from townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Chinese banks have been told by their government to lend more to entrepreneurs in that country to help shore up flagging economic growth amid escalating trade talks with China and the United States.
The central bank says it has released $109 billion for additional lending by reducing bank reserve requirements by 1%. It said the money was for small enterprises, the official term for private companies that generate China's new jobs and wealth. The dispute with the U.S. is adding to downward pressure on an economy that already was forecast to cool after Beijing tightened lending controls to rein in a debt boom.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Tens of millions of Social Security beneficiaries and other retirees can expect an increase in their benefits next year. The government has announced a cost of living adjustment of 2.8%. That would translate into about an extra $39 a month for the average retired worker. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Ben Thomas reports there may be evidence of what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian writer last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul.
According to the Washington Post, Turkey's government has told U.S. officials it has audio and video proof that Jamal Khashoggi was killed and dismembered in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. He'd gone there 10 days ago to pick up a document for his upcoming wedding. Saudi Arabia claims he left the consulate and vanished, even though his fiancée was waiting outside.
Correspondent Ben Thomas, Toyota is recalling 168,000 vehicles because of potentially faulty airbags. The recall covers 2018 and 2019 Tundra pickups and Sequoia SUVs, as well as 2019 Avalon sedans.
Toyota says those airbags may not properly inflate in the event of a crash. The automaker will notify owners later this month, and dealers will be updating the airbag control software to fix the problem. More from townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey, and this is my co-host, Sean. How are you doing, Sean?
Hello. Good.
You had a good week since last week?
I sure did, yeah.
Anything exciting?
No, nothing I can talk about.
Well, good, because I have a lot to complain about.
Excellent. Let's go ahead. But before you do that, is it okay if I come out real quick here?
Sure.
All right. So, everyone, loyal listeners, I'm a trans woman. I go by Kara. I've been on hormones for like 3 years, but I've been doing Sean on the radio because voices are hard. But it's actually Kara. Okay.
So, I thought you told me you had nothing going on this week and nothing to talk about. What is that business?
I thought it would be funny if I just did that without telling you.
All right,
it gives me fiendish glee to come out as trans on KCNR.
Funny.
So, all right. Without telling anyone.
I like it.
All right.
So, Kara.
Now you all know.
Here's what I'm hating on this week.
Excellent. Go ahead.
I'm a smoker, and I hate it. Drives me bonkers. I'm trying to quit. I hate it.
Okay.
But I smoke on my back porch, and there's this kid. Mm-hmm. There's like, here's my porch. I got a fence. I got a run of rocks. And then a sidewalk. And this kid feels the need to walk across my yard the whole time and walk across my rocks.
I hate him already.
Right. And I'm sitting there on the back porch. He's like 12.
Ugh.
Smoking. And like every time this kid walks by, he's all, oh, God. And I'm just all like, oh, my God. It makes me want to smoke more. It makes me just want to blow it in that kid's face.
Maybe he has asthma.
No.
No, it's clearly, like, exaggerated coughing.
Clearly.
Okay. Maybe he's working.
And plus, this kid's been my neighbor for years, you know, and I've heard a lot of complaining out of this kid over the years. And I just want to grab him and be all, you know, the world's changing, people are changing, but still nobody likes a complainer. You know, it's like, how is this going to help you in the future, you know? Or is his family not telling him, man, you need to stop complaining?
I don't know.
So I'm like...
Maybe he's a sociopath.
I don't know.
I'm
going to kill this kid. I'm going to sneak
well,
in his
Well, now
out.
You never can.
Well, if I quit smoking, I can at least get second-degree murder. Right? Like crime of passion, because, like, I would quit smoking, and I got all...
Not if you premeditated on the radio, like, 2 weeks before.
I'm not really going to do it.
Well, you say that now.
Well, I don't think this counts as premeditation.
But now you don't have the option, because they can just play this in court and be like...
Why are you using my own argument against me?
Because
I pulled this on you in our chat the other day. I told you...
And you had some...
You wanted to kill somebody, and I'm just all, now we can never kill him, because there's a paper trail.
And I thought that was very wise.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be great for me if it looked like I thought of it on the radio. But,
right.
Okay, fine.
So I have to say I've forgotten about whatever else it is that I hate. I hate that kid so much.
Well, that's kind of good, you know, actually.
To hate a 12-year-old?
Well, it's like a sort of hate heat sink kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
you can focus all your hate on that.
Right.
Rather, you know, it doesn't spill over to the rest of your life. You
right.
can just make a little hate shrine to this kid and then go on.
Right.
Totally. The life of a normal, well-adjusted person who doesn't have a hate shrine. To a 12-year-old.
Now, to be fair, he's a good kid. He loves his mama. He's never fist fight, and he's never doing anything bad like that. You know, he's a good kid.
How do you know any of this?
We've been neighbors with his family for, you know, 15 years. His mom has worked at a Mexican restaurant that we frequent for 2 decades. Mm. You know, I mean, I know they're good people. I know they're nice people, and I know the kid's a good kid. It's just the smoking thing that I'm going to kill him.
Okay. I see.
I just got to go spank him in front of his mom.
Wow. All right. 12-year-old. But, okay.
Yeah. When do you cut off spanking? At the beginning now, I guess.
Oh, God. I'm so glad they put the views and opinions disclaimer before this first segment.
Well, I don't know. All my kids are old now. It's not like anybody's going to be old. Don't let that guy have kids, you know. My kids are already old, and they're successful enough.
My point is, this segment is a train wreck.
Why?
Because it's weird and creepy.
I think a lot of people, especially smokers out there, have their opinions about these people who, like, walk by and they're all...
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, it's like those drivers who, like, try to teach you a lesson. Like, you make a mistake, and they decide that they're going to slam on their brakes or something to try to teach you a lesson. You know, other people in society don't need to teach me a lesson.
Right.
You know, they just, if you make a mistake, you got to wave and say, oh, I'm sorry, because this might come as a shocker to some people. Everybody makes mistakes.
Is that true?
It is. It is. Yeah.
I've heard that, but I think that's kind of something they just tell all the mistake-making people so they don't feel so bad.
Well, you're here, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I made
your parents obviously made one
mistake.
Your parents obviously made one mistake.
Yeah, multiple times. Siblings, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you only had one sibling.
I have a sibling.
Oh, okay. The other one died in the fire.
We don't talk about that.
That's terrible.
We're trying to move on from ever acknowledging they ever lived.
All right, let's get back to business then. Seeing how I forgot about the other thing that I hated, but I think it had something to do with the movie. Oh, speaking of movies, our Halloween show that's coming up, for those of you who want to discuss or listen to what we're discussing about, I should probably throw out that we're going to be watching and then discussing two horror films that are based on real-life events.
Indeed.
Those two movies that we're going to be watching and talking about is one called Veronica, about a possession that took place in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is going to be
Winchester.
With Dame Helen Mirren in it.
Ah.
I got to say, Winchester, I don't have high hopes for.
Okay.
But Helen Mirren, she's like a real actress. So I'm a little...
I do not know.
I don't know. What do you expect from these?
I don't watch a whole lot of horror movies, so... I'm expecting that I'll either like them much less than they deserve or much more than they deserve because I'm not jaded on all the horror tropes.
Well, I'm trying to get you to say what you said the other day about Winchester.
I don't remember what
you said.
You
said something to the effect of, like, the only person who thought that place was haunted was her.
You said that.
I did?
Yeah.
Man, I'm clever. I'm trying to get myself to say stuff. And I did.
Well done.
All right, back to business.
Do you have conversations with me, or do you just fill in my part?
I don't know.
In your brain.
Somebody's got to make you interesting.
I guess.
All right, so tonight we got Geeks Paranormal, Paranormal Investigators.
Indeed.
I always like having the Paranormal Investigators. Of course, I always want to know the scary stuff. And
I'm sure they'll have the scoop on that.
Well, that's kind of the fun part about paranormal investigators as opposed to, like, spiritualists and stuff like that.
Right.
The spiritualists will be talking about how it was a beautiful experience. And the paranormal investigators are really at the core looking for murderous, psychopathic ghosts. That's what they want, isn't it?
I think it's
purely semantic. If you didn't want that, you would call yourself something else.
Right.
Well, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Coming up next, we're going to be interviewing Geeks Paranormal. Come on back.
Back. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KZNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are here with Geeks Paranormal, Shauna and Vicky. We got you there with us.
Hi, hi, how are
you? Man, you guys are excited.
Yeah, that's some serious enthusiasm there.
That is some serious enthusiasm, you know.
We try.
Right, so, you know, I always, well, let's separate some voices here. Which one's Shauna?
I'm Shauna.
Shauna.
And I'm Vicky.
And you're Vicky, all right. I'm Chauncey, and this is Kara.
Hey, Luke.
And we...
Hi!
And, okay, so, you know, we always ask this at the beginning. Maybe I'll go to Shauna first. You know, really, what moved you in this direction? You know, was it an experience or a lifelong interest?
Well, it's funny that you ask because we don't get asked that all the time. No, I'm just kidding. I had some experiences when I was younger. When I was about 5 years old, my papaw died. And I remember being on my swing set and asking him to push me while I was crying, and I felt a nudge. And, of course, at that age, you just kind of brush it off like, yeah, okay, whatever. Well, then... later on in my teenage years, I messed with the Ouija board a little bit, and that was freaky enough as it was. Whenever you have a planchette that moves on its own, that really gets you thinking about things. But again, I kind of pushed it aside, and In the military, I did the same thing with a friend. I'd done the Ouija board, and her daughter was there, and her daughter was hiding in the bathroom saying that the people around the board didn't want her to be there. So that got me thinking, but it wasn't until I moved from Alabama to Oklahoma, and I was a supervisor, and me and a friend of mine started talking that she was like, you should totally make a group. So 6 years ago, I created Geeks Paranormal, and we've been going since.
So what brought you in there, Vicki?
Okay, well, when I was a toddler... So my grandmother, who had been dead at that point since my mom was 17 and she had me in when she was like 23. And apparently I described her perfectly to my mother. And when I was 5, I died.
How'd you die? Wait, you can't just skip over that. How'd you die?
Yeah, Vicki, you have to tell them everything.
I had a severe head injury, and where they literally had to push my head, my skull back together, and imagine a 5-year-old with 120 staples to put their head back together. I had to have 2 blood transfusions, and it was a result of child abuse.
Oh, wow.
God. And that's what's been wrong with her ever since. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Probably.
I love you.
Okay, so continue. You died when you were 5.
World to me. Huh?
I said, go ahead, continue. You died when you were 5, and?
Yes. It basically opened up the world to me where I was able to start feeling and seeing spirits. And I don't know if it was the death or prior, because I saw my grandma when I was 3, about 3. So, but after that, I mean, I was able to sense things. I started having weird, you know, dreams that would come true. And, you know, so I've always known that there was something beyond what people can see. I don't really remember what happened when I died, except for it felt almost like an astral projection. I remember seeing the bright light. And I'm pretty sure that was the surgery light that I was seeing. But I don't have a whole lot of details of the actual death, but I've always known that there was something beyond. And when I was 7, because I was in a horrible abusive situation, I wanted to die myself. I tried to kill myself when I was 7 years old. And I had a visit by what I believe was an angel to basically tell me, you know, to keep going. And I remember going, like, up into a place and sitting on somebody's lap and, like, I mean, it's hard to talk about because most people don't want to believe you.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But that always stayed with me, and there was a couple other times that I'd also gone up to that same place and have, once was after my mother died, because my mom had mental illness, and that was why she was abusive. So as an adult, I understood and forgave her, and so we started to build a relationship back up after she got on the right medication. Mm-hmm. Well, she passed away in 2014. And we had, like, just started, like, 2 years back of having a decent relationship. And so I was heartbroken, and I basically asked God if I could just talk to my mom one more time. And I felt myself, like, basically astral project out of my body. And I went up into a place that was what I could only assume was, like, what I call the waiting period before heaven or whatever. And I was able to spend 1 minute, because that's all I asked God for was 1 minute. And I was able to spend this time with my mother one more time. And then when I returned to my body, I looked at the clock, and only 1 minute had passed.
Oh, crazy. Huh. Mm. So it seems like
those are our insightful comments on that. Oh, crazy.
Oh, sorry. You know, I'm a journalist. What do you want from me? So, you know, is it common? It seems common. I have a very movie knowledge of this stuff. You know, my transition into this stuff was just being a fan of horror and fantasy, and then all of a sudden I'm like, well, maybe some of it's real. I want to look into it, you know. But at least a common trope in films is that people who are connected to the afterlife in some sort of way had some serious trauma in their life. Do you feel that that was the case, or do you notice that with other people?
In my situation, it probably was. I mean, I had a very traumatic childhood. I mean, literally from dying to child abuse to being bounced around in the foster care system to being homeless, to, like, all sorts of things that happened to me. And I'm very, you know, I'm an empath, and I have very strong connections to the paranormal. However, I don't know that it's always the case. I know at least of one or two people that have very strong abilities that had a great childhood. So I don't, you know, I couldn't answer that completely. What do you think, Shauna?
Well, I didn't have a traumatic childhood. I'm an only child. I think it just, it depends on who God wants to have what. Because yeah. I'm a sort of, I guess, sort of a sensitive. I say that all the time. Vicky rolls her eyes.
A sort of sensitive. So, actually, you guys keep, keep saying God. And, like, I've found that it kind of seems like they tend to be mutually exclusive, but you don't find this world of paranormal and this world of ghosts and the world of angels and God to be mutually exclusive from one another.
Well, we believe that everybody has the right to believe what they want.
Exactly.
Well, of course.
So, but I am a strong believer of Jesus Christ, and I believe that, you know, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, I believe all of this is connected. And I also believe in other religions.
Oh, I believe that, like, you know, Buddhism and Christianity and all that are all connected.
Every religion has some sort of right and some sort of wrong to it, you know, like, in everything. You know, even Christianity, there are some wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There's some things that people didn't get right, that when the end does come, everybody's going to be like, oh, ha. I didn't think of it like that.
That's how it was supposed
That's
to be.
How
oh,
it was
my
to
go. Gosh.
But I mean, I think you need to keep an open mind. And in order to be in this field, you definitely have to have an open mind. And that should flow into your religious beliefs as well.
Yes.
I see. Yeah, because so often, you know, people, basically anything that has to do with ghosts or spirits other than, you know, the Holy Spirit, they sort of associate it with evil or darkness. But I assume not all spirits are ghosts or evil. Some of them are just in limbo.
Yeah,
oh,
deals with that firsthand.
All the time. My parents, my son, they go to a church that believes anything to do with spirits are demons.
Right.
And I'm in witchcraft.
which I always find funny because, hello, the Holy Spirit... That was not a demon, guys.
Right. Well, they have the one.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first break here. You're listening to Shauna and Vicky from Geeks Paranormal here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Don Burton. In the wake of the car fire, disaster rumors seem to move quickly and in some cases can be devastating to companies and individuals. One of those rumors relates to Palomar Builders and its owner, Jeb Allen. There's a rumor that Jeb has raised the prices on all his homes in an effort to profit from this disaster. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In the 30 years that Palomar Builders have been building homes in the North State, they have never had a price increase greater than 3%, ever. And many of the homes that were for sale were immediately opened up to displaced fire victims on the onset of the fire. And so many people know Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders as a giving company. And it's true, they've donated over $500,000 to Make-A-Wish in the past 2 years. Our community is important to Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders because they're part of this community. In an effort to help with home ownership, Jeb is offering $10,000 in free upgrades on any Palomar home in the month of August. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking with Geeks Paranormal, Shauna and Vicky.
Woo-hoo!
You know, before we were talking about sort of being sensitive and being, you know, somewhat clairvoyant, I guess sensitive in this day and age of politics can mean a lot of things, being spiritually sensitive.
All you psychic snowflakes out there.
Right, right. Yeah, totally. But
we have a show getting triggered by visions from the dead.
Right, right. Totally. is one of you a nuts and bolts sort of, you know, there tends to be the nuts and bolts one that's the scientific and the readouts. Who's reading the readouts?
Who's reading the readouts?
Yeah.
Well, we're both a little, you know, skeptical as well because of the fact that we want our evidence to be authentic. So
yeah.
Very, you know.
Our research has to be authentic. Our evidence has to be authentic.
If in doubt, we throw it out.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, you got to use the spiritual sensitivity to point you in the right direction. But when you get there, you really want to walk away with something concrete, I assume.
Oh, always.
And I believe that, you know, Sean is a little bit more grounded in that area because I could fly, you know, off the radar a little and she has to be like,
nope.
Okay, bring it in.
Right. So what's one of these investigations look like for you guys when you guys go out and do this, you know?
Oh, it's very long and tedious. We usually go out for as long as we possibly can, hopefully for at least an 8-hour to 12-hour investigation, and after that the research is what takes the longest because you have 5 or 6 cameras that have 8 to 12 hours of video on it, plus you have digis, which is about 4 or 5 digis that have stuff on it, and then you have to do all this review. And what happens is my team does the review and then they send it to Vicky, so she's my second, and then once Vicky's done doing her little pan through, I get it and I'll look through it and see if I need to throw anything out or if it's legit.
I see. So it passes through a lot of filters before you're willing to do anything with it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then there's also
the research.
The amount of research and history, because I do a lot of the history of it, and I'm not satisfied with the surface stuff. I have to keep digging and digging and digging until, like, I can't find any more things to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about that. How's the history go with this sort of thing? Do you feel that it's more effective to go in knowing the history ahead of time or to go in and collect the data and then learn the history after the fact and make connections?
No, you collect the data
first. And then I do the history afterwards because it has to be authentic. And if I'm going in with my gifts or ability and I already know the history, well,
it's kind of cheating.
How's anybody going to believe that I actually felt something or actually saw something if I've already learned the history?
I'll do a little bit of the history research before we go into a place, so that way I know what's going on. But my sensitives, they stay clean. They don't go in knowing anything. They just know, hey, this is the location that this person's having a problem with or this business is having a problem with, and then we go from there, and then after everything is said and done, Vicky goes in and does the extensive research that we need for the property.
So have you ever gotten any concrete evidence that you really feel was of quality that you feel that the world should look at or take a second glance at?
Absolutely,
yes. We this is actually something that happened before she was even part of the team. We went to a place called Spiritual Rose in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Owner's very awesome. She's very nice. Gave us the whole place for the night. And, I mean, we just found during the investigation, we were doing a spirit box session, and I kept asking who was here, and the person kept replying, Jesse. And once Vicky done the research, she found that it was an actual veteran that had,
He like ran to a bus and he tripped and fell and went underneath the bus and got run over and trapped under the bus. So he died. And he died literally right on the corner, right where they are, which is a couple years prior to her.
In 2014, when we investigated in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I'm only assuming that the reason he was really there was because I'm ex-military and we had kind of mentioned that during the investigation, and he constantly kept trying to get my attention.
There's actually an EVP of military alphabet being read. We hear him say his name. We hear him at one point, and we actually have a video of it where he's telling her to be careful. There's another time where he says, Sean is like saying something about there's lights over there and it was a car, and he's like, ignore that.
And there's also a time where I accidentally sat on a kitten, and he was like, yeah, keep laughing.
Yeah, so there's, we have a lot of EDP from...
And it's the same voice. That's the only reason why we say it's him.
Right. So you actually have this on recording. That's interesting, you know, because...
No, we do. We'll have to send it to you for you to share.
Yeah, we'd be happy to share because, you know, there's so much of this going on, but, you know, I guess this might be a good question. Is there a repository where paranormal investigators sort of get together and sort of collect that concrete evidence? Is there any one group or website or system that's sort of collecting the things that we feel are credible evidence?
I think a lot of the websites, there are websites that'll have a bunch of different paranormal investigators on it just for people that need help. So they have the paranormal investigators on there, but I haven't really seen, I mean, I do see websites that have like YouTube channels and their own videos of what they see, but I don't really consider it a collection. I think a lot of the paranormal investigators would like to keep their own collection just so it's their proof that something's happened.
Well, although in the paranormal world, a lot of us become close like family.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
So when we can afford and to spend the money, we can go to conventions, and it's basically like a family reunion.
Oh, it is.
You go and you get to see all your other weirdo paranormal investigators.
Your weirdo fam.
Your weirdo fam. And but we don't sit in a room and compare notes or something. It's like, if they share their evidence, we're like, oh, cool, and well, it might share us, but it's not. There's not really an archive set up for that. Would be a great idea.
Oh, it would be.
There's not one so far that I'm aware of.
Plus, really, how would you even vet that, you know? Because, well, do you feel that there's a lot of, you know, we talk about this with UFO research often, that, like, do we feel that there are people out there sort of obviously perpetuating hoax? Now, I'm aware there are big ones that are perpetuating hoax of market soda pop or whatever. But do you think that there are, like, grassroots guys out there perpetuating hoaxes in order to make some money online?
See, that is the problem in our field, is that there is going to be a lot of people that are cons and faking stuff. And it gives the rest of us that are authentic bad names. And, you know, and when you are out there and you're not really quite sure what to believe in, and you find these sites of people that are basically faking it, or, you know, showing dust and saying it's orbs and, you know, with no solid evidence, then you start to doubt the entire
everything
field
completely.
Yeah. And that's heartbreaking, actually.
It is very heartbreaking, because there's a lot of very good evidence out there that shows that, you know, paranormal is real.
Absolutely.
But then you have the ones that want to go in and video edit something or Photoshop something, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, and I have seen that a lot, especially in those little paranormal groups that you get on Facebook that everybody wants, you know, anybody can join. You'll see something. They'll be like, I took this picture and see this, and you can tell it's a Photoshop. And you're like, oh, come on, please don't do that. Please just don't. And it's not just because not only are they lying for the attention, but they're also putting a strike against the paranormal community.
Yeah, because if they can do it,
yeah,
why aren't the other people doing it?
Right, yeah. And so people become less convinced when the real evidence is out there.
Right, right. But luckily, in the case of paranormal and once again, UFOs, it seems that there are just, that they're the big topics because we all know so many people who have experiences or have a story to tell. And they're all people that, you know, we don't think are nuts. You know, I'm sure there are nuts on the internet, but I mean, a lot of these times we're hearing these stories from people that we know and give credence to, you know. All right. Well, we're coming up on our next break here. You're listening to Radio Wasteland as we're talking to Geeks Paranormal, Sean and Vicky. Come on, Matt.
this is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460 from the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. On Monday, we welcome Casey Dollar of Top Dollar Studios. Find out how a young man from Reading got into the movie industry and how he's making movies right up here in the North State. Plus, North State Stand Down will be joining us to talk about how they are helping veterans that are down on their luck, giving them a hand up, not a hand out. All this Monday here, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to Geeks Paranormal. We're talking to Shauna and Vicky. You know, at the risk of pigeonholing myself into the stereotypical questions that I always ask, I have to ask you, what is the scariest thing that you've ever seen or dealt with while doing this?
We have to know.
We have to know. Maybe I'll ask you individually. Shauna, how about we start with you? What's the scariest thing that you've dealt with? Or has there even been anything scary? No, I mean that's an acceptable answer.
Yeah. We've been in this field for 6 years, and I really have not been so scared. I've been excited, and ecstatic that we found something and heard a noise or heard a voice or seen something, but to I have yet to be at that point where I'm so scared, I'm like, no, I'm not going back to that place.
You never thought that your, like, cameraman was obsessed by it? What'd you say, Vicky? Go for it.
I haven't been scared either, but I have been creeped out by something that happened. And, well, actually, I could tell you two different stories about the same house.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Excellent.
One was I was looking through the stills after we did the investigation. I was looking, flipping through them and stuff. And at one point, one of the pictures was of the kitchen of this house that we were at. And suddenly, there was a little creature on the countertop that turned and looked at me in the still. And then, of course, I'm like, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And I tossed it. And then I sent it to Shauna afterwards, and well, by then it was already gone. So,
so she just gets a picture of it. Like, what am I supposed to be looking at?
She gets a picture of a kitchen, and there's nothing there. So that was a little creepy. But the other part was the there was the clientele itself that was a little creepy on that one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get into great details because, you know, but there was a little bit of a harassment going on after the fact that we had to kind of nip in the bud because they were constantly wanting me to come out and be alone with them. And like, we don't go anywhere alone.
No, we don't do anything alone.
At the risk of hovering around a PC topic, are you talking like in a molesty, weird way they wanted you to come back? Well, I can't really tell what you're saying, so it's like I'm trying to figure out what exactly were they doing.
You figured it out.
Pretty much like that.
So, you know, I always want to know this from paranormal researchers, especially people who are sensitive. You know, I can't help but to think that if all this stuff is going on out there, that there's some sort of like culture beyond. There is some sort of existence. I mean, are we just looking at spirits floating around who used to be alive, or are there spirits who are out there that maybe never existed in life, who are both benevolent and evil? You know, is there some sort of like culture or existence going on out there, or are we just sort of like looking at random stuff that can't figure out where to go?
Well, it depends on how you believe, but from my experience and my beliefs, we're all eternal beings. Like, we always have been and always will be. And so we're only temporarily in our flesh. So before we were born, then we weren't, you know, we were still an eternal being. You know, we were still there. We were still existing. Either, you know, whether it's here on a different plane or up in heaven or wherever, but we still existed. And once you die, your soul lives on. And so, you know, but now your soul has attachments to people on Earth because you lived here. So
right.
You want to kind of hang around and see what everybody's doing. And I believe that we still have free will on the other side. And Judgment Day hasn't come yet, so we're free to roam.
Go to Scotland.
Go to Scotland and blow up people's kilts. That's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do when we die.
We've already decided. We're going to sit in praise and, you know, blow.
Well, at the risk of sounding, you know, at the risk of sounding silly, like when somebody passes on and they are this internal being, do they have a day job? Do they have a purpose? Do they have relationships with other things? That's kind of what I'm getting by saying a culture, or are they sort of thrown into the well of energy, or, you know.
Again, I think that follows the beliefs, because a lot of people want to believe that these people pass on to heaven, or.
Right, that they go to heaven. And there's some people that believe that ghosts doesn't exist at all, and that
they get
anything
stuck.
That we feel is a demon, or there's some people that believe that, you know, if you're haunted, you know, a place, that you're stuck in that place. But I think it depends on how you live. I feel like if you were an evil son, you know what, you probably are stuck someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to be forced to be stuck there until Judgment Day, until, you know, God decides what he's going to do with you, or until you're able to make right. I believe that you still have a chance on the other side to get your soul right a little bit before Judgment Day.
Yeah, eternity, you know, it's a mighty long time.
It is.
You think they'd throw you a second chance somewhere along the way.
Right, and, you know, as the Bible says, God said that, you know, he is not willing for anybody's soul to perish, anybody to, you know, basically burn in hell. So, I mean, and of course, I'm leaning towards the Christian beliefs. Now, if a listener is a different religion, they have a right to believe that whatever their eternity is. But I believe it's individual. I believe that, you know, if a person commits suicide, they might be trapped a little bit more, or at least that, you know, marker is trapped. What I mean by that is, when I believe that there is energy fingerprints and that we all have them. And like when something happens, like we're been murdered or like a suicide or extreme excitement, like maybe a massive orgasm. I hate to say that on there, but like something very exciting or very traumatic happens, we leave an energy fingerprint behind. And when people come along and they see, you know, these kind of hauntings that keep playing over and over and over again, they're not really dealing with an actual haunting. That person's soul might not be there at all. It's just their fingerprint that was left behind.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a fingerprint.
Like kind of the stone tape theory, maybe, in some cases.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the end of the interview here. You know, can you tell our audience a little bit more about where they can find out more about you?
Oh, you can find out more about us by going to youtube.com/geeksparanormal. You can go to facebook.com/geeksparanormal. You can also find us on Instagram at g.e.e.k.s_geeks_paranormal. All you gotta do is find the little geeky ghosts that are our symbol. It's a little boy with glasses and a little girl with pink hair and glasses, and you'll find us.
And we are on Spotify, Link, Tumblr, pretty much everywhere.
Sounds good. And we also link to you from Radio Wasteland's Facebook. So, you know, if you're having a hard time finding them, just go there. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Shauna and Vicky here on Radio Wasteland. That was Geeks Paranormal.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew opens 7.